I'm Max, and you're listening to Zetus Lapidus, a Mammoth Club original podcast. What's up, all you teenage high schoolers and or knights of the round table?
Wow.
I'm Alan.
I'm King Arthur.
Oh, shit.
Calling it right here.
Like, literally not even one of the options.
I'm not a knight.
Right?
I'm King Arthur.
I'm the king.
I am the knight at the round table, man.
Yeah, there you go.
That is the big K, big knight.
And I'm Max.
And this is Zetus Lapidus. It is the podcast where we watch every Disney Channel original movie or DCOM in chronological order and then spend way too much time analyzing them. This week, folks, we watched Avalon High. Does that bring us to an end of 2010? Yes, that brings us to an end of 2010. Only four movies this year.
Wow. We got to make some statements at the end of this.
Be ready, everybody. You may not know.
Yeah, you never know. Never know. Okay, the description of this movie is as follows. A teenage girl moves to a new high school where she slowly discovers herself involved in the reincarnation of King Arthur.
This movie's about Jesus. Now you should know.
Hot take, but I'm here for it. I don't know what I expected you to say. I really don't. But that one...
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I didn't know. No. Is that going to color the entire...
I'm going to say it's colored. I'm going to say there's a big theme of forgiveness at the end of it.
No, boy. Oh, my God. There is. Yeah. There sure is. Oh, shit. This movie, Molly. Molly looks stunned.
I think I just broke Molly open.
Yeah.
Did you not realize this movie was about Jesus?
I thought it was about King Arthur.
Nope, this movie's about Jesus, everybody.
I'm still going to operate under the lens of King Arthur because if I don't, then I'm going to allow some very heavy religious trauma affect my
rating is going to change. So I'm going to keep thinking it's about King Arthur.
This movie was released on November 12th of the year 2010, and I have got to know that before we watched this movie for this podcast, had either you seen this before? Because I sure as shit hadn't.
No.
Only in Sunday school.
Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
I know! Thank you! All right. Other things of the time are top song, We Are Who We Are by Kesha.
Oh, we are in the Kesha era.
Yeah.
We are in the Kesha.
We are who we are. She was just on stage at Coachella.
Yeah. Mm. Changing the lyrics of her song.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. There is another sort of like news headline thing that was released that's music related later, but we'll get back to that. The top grossing film of this time was Megamind by DreamWorks.
Isn't...
It's one of my favorite memes exist because of Megamind. I'm not going to say it here, but I love it.
Isn't it Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt is the superhero.
Will Ferrell is
Megamind, yeah. I am Megamind, supreme master of all evil. Another news of the time, back to sort of the musical space. In November of 2010 is when Adele released Rollin' in the Deep.
Wow.
I read that and I was like, no shot. It was that long. But yeah. Yeah.
There's a fire.
Was that her? I guess I just am not connected.
It's 19, right? Her first album was 19. Her second album was 21. And it was her age.
Yeah. That was her breaking out onto the scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think mainstream wise, God knows how long she had been.
Yeah. You know, actually making music in a way. Yeah. In other news of the time. Now this, I'm Molly and Max, I chose this bit of news specifically for you. Okay.
Okay.
There were two very important people who announced they were engaged in November of 2010. People that, for the two of you, still have a massive impact on your life.
Oh.
Mm.
Vanessa Minnelli and Nick Lachey announced that they were engaged.
What was that last name on Vanessa?
M-I-N-I-L-L-O? Minnelli?
Manila?
Vanessa Minnelli?
Was it Manila?
That's what I'm reading.
I don't know. Vanessa Lachey now.
Vanessa Lachey.
Yes, hosts of Love is Blind.
They do have a deep, profound impact on our lives.
That's true.
That's true.
I just thought you should know that in November of 2010, that's when they got engaged.
Wow.
That's longer than I thought
it was. Still going strong, hosting Love is Blind for your enjoyment. Only for you two. Not for millions of other
viewers.
That's
so nice.
Specifically
of
for you both.
If that was true, I would tell Vanessa to rein it in on the reunions.
There you go.
And with that, let's dive into Avalon High. We begin with some absolutely beautiful royalty-free fantasy music.
Yes.
That is being played yes. in the background.
That's correct.
Music that, let's just say, if I were to stream a Dungeons & Dragons game, oh. I would find this song and yeah. probably put it on a playlist to make sure that I knew that I would not oh. be...
hit with that copyright.
Hit with the copyright that's by a, the artist, yeah.
That's okay, Alan, because I know where all the music budget went for this movie.
I, you know what? Yeah. I got more to say on that, too.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I also got to say, I thought, was the budget high on this movie right away? Because I feel like a bunch of horses on the beach, not cheap.
Yeah.
Let's actually find out what the budget was. Budget.
Like I feel like it was a higher budget than a lot of DCOMs.
I think it's probably true. I mean, they did most of the... They probably knocked all that out in one day.
Yeah.
Right? Like
all the fantasy beach,
all the beach stuff
and everything.
They knock it all out in one day. They do quite a bit with like.
There'd be a lot of stunt people for all that.
Quite a bit of stunt people. Eh.
I didn't find
public beach.
I didn't find budget, but I did find a weird ranker website that I didn't know existed until this very moment. Apparently, this is the number 2 best of Britt Robertson movies, number 33 of the 50 best movies with high in the title, number 75 in 100 best Disney Channel original movies, and number 97 in the 150 plus best teen romance movies ranked.
97 sounds right.
I think it's too high.
I feel like
there's definitely 97 better rom-coms.
Like... No, Starstruck
teenage.
Sure.
Not just rom-coms, Molly.
Sure.
Starstruck was number 591.
That feels about right. Yeah, anyway, I think the budget was higher on this movie than a normal DCOM just because of all the fantasy sequences yeah. and stunt people you would need to have, costumes,
etc. Definitely rated a Renaissance fair.
They definitely did.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They just went to a local Renaissance fair and took on all of the costumes.
Gandalf say there's a good one in L.A.
Mm-hmm. This begins with jousting on a beach, which is the well-known beaches of England. And they can't show actual jousting, like the impaling of these weapons upon each other.
Mm-hmm.
So what they instead do so brilliantly is just watch as the combatants are blown off of their steeds.
Yeah.
I will say... I was stressed during the joust because I was like, it's Game of Thrones. And if you've watched Game of Thrones, you know that there is some very graphic things that happen at the joust.
Mm.
And then as Alan said, I was quickly reminded it was a DCOM when they didn't even show the horses get near each other. They just showed them running at each other and then flying through the air on the ground.
Did you watch A Knight's Tale when you were younger?
Max, yeah. Why don't you not talk about that?
Okay.
Are you good?
Felt like I really got shut down there.
Well,
I was trying to just connect to the joust.
Max, maybe we'll talk about A Knight's Tale.
Like, I was like, hey, here's sport. And like, here's, this doesn't.
Max, maybe we'll talk about A Knight's Tale later.
Okay, I'll stop talking. It's fine. All right.
Hey, man, I'm here for you, dude.
Yeah, thanks, y'all.
Okay, so we now have, after we have this like, this fake joust, we meet our main character. Allie falls out of bed. Just as she has fallen off a horse, she, in her dream sequence, tears off the helmet, and it is our main character, Allie. She wakes up on the bed of her bedroom. On the floor of her bedroom, and has a brief interaction with Mom, who, by the way, is one of the most wackadoo characters. I could never get a read on Mom.
She's on one.
She's like... always smiling, but in a way that makes me think she's on drugs.
Yeah,
she also
communicates in a way that makes me think she's on drugs.
I think she
may just be on drugs.
She might be on a hallucinogen or something some gummies or something because she is like a wackadoo.
She's
smiley and just like speaking in rhyme.
And her accent changes every other word.
Ooh, she's not the only one.
Oh, you're not wrong. So. We learn a couple of things about Allie. One, she's new in town, and she's sort of talking with her parents, who are both professors of medieval literature. And they have told her, like, hey, instead of moving every 6 months, which, by the way, as somebody moved around quite a bit as a child, that sounds fucking awful. She has signed a 3-year location. She's going to be here for 3 years. Parents have promised her that.
It's Gabriela Montez.
For sure.
Truly.
She's allowed to be an actual teenager. She's allowed to do things like go out for the track team. She's allowed to make friends. And then she runs. And the way that this girl runs is odd. It is odd.
She is Phoebe Buffay.
We're gonna see a lot of it.
I'm so glad you said that, Max. I actually had a thought. I was like, no, wait a minute. If this thought came later, so we're gonna jump ahead a bit. If this entire film is meant to parallel Arthur and his knights, I'm not talking about Jesus Christ, Arthur and his knights, then is the running bit just them riding on horses? They're like, instead of horses, what we're gonna do is we're gonna make all of our characters run places.
It's just
she does run to catch a car later.
She has a superpower.
She's the Flash. She's so fast. But also, I thought a little early for a montage, like. We've been watching this movie for 3 minutes and we already have a montage.
Yep.
But it's the weirdest montage. She's just running places.
She was
like
running.
Phoebe Buffay.
And it's exactly. And it's places they're just going to show us the same five set pieces that they run through.
The sequence of running is repetitive.
Yep.
I was like, wowzers. Okay. So as she's running, weirdly, through all of these different set pieces, she comes upon other main character boy.
The Lady of the Wake.
Now I'm gonna
And by that I mean the boy of the water fountain.
Will. The lad of the lake.
The lad of the water fountain.
The lad of the water fountain.
The lad of the pitling water. I'm gonna also pause here for a moment. And this might be like spoilies, but so this movie's based on a book.
Uh-huh.
And
King Arthur?
Yep, Camelot. This is what this movie but the actual book that Avalon High is based on, it turns out that the film made some choices around who some of their characters and the counterparts are.
Yeah.
And Will is one of them. So I'm excited to talk about that later. But I was like, whoa, we've made some character decisions and who their corresponding, you know, medieval counterpart is.
Got it.
Meets Lad of the Water Fountain. And they become, there's immediate chemistry.
Yeah, I don't know who he's supposed to be.
It's like, a meet cute.
Like, in that Arthur
if
camp. Not Arthur.
He's meant to be Arthur.
That's what I'm
saying. No, so I'll just say it. Why am I trying to hold it?
Clearly,
he's meant to be Arthur.
He's definitely Arthur.
But in the book, he is. And they changed it, obviously, in the film. Spoiler alert for later. But Allie is meant to be the Lady of the Lake.
Of course she is.
Because that's her fucking job the whole way through.
Of course she is. Obviously, she's the Lady of the Lake. And let me tell you, I appreciate what they're trying to do at the end of this movie, but it doesn't make any fucking sense.
They're like, guys, guess what? You don't just get one plot twist, you get two.
I don't think the first plot twist really makes sense either, but
none
we'll
of
get
it makes
there.
Any fucking sense, but it doesn't make any sense that she's Arthur. Like, none of the rest of it works if she's Arthur.
I fully agree. I just want to know what happened. I would love to have been in the past as a fly on the wall in that meeting.
I'm going to tell you what happened. And I say this with like all of the desire in the world to have strong female characters.
Fully agree.
But that's what happened.
I think
they
so too.
Said, no, it needs to be a girl. And so they just changed it.
They could have made it better if they had hints that she was Arthur all along. Like if she thinks it's Will the whole time, but yet her personality is showing that it actually is that it's her. Like,
or if things are happening to her
exactly
that align with the Arthur
exactly.
story. Like everything in the Arthur story
happens
is happening to Will. And then they just swap her at the end.
Yeah.
It is just so maddening because the Lady of the Lake in the actual King Arthur story,
that watery tart,
is a strong character. He's very strong.
Toss the scimitar to you.
I'm the King of England.
If I went around declaring myself an emperor.
Because of watery tart told me.
Hurl the scimitar at me.
The scimitar at me. Yeah, in the original story, the Lady of the Lake actually has power. She has influence. She is an advisor. And that is all the things that Allie does.
Of course.
And
then they even say at the end, they even go, I kind of pegged you, the Lady of the Lake. And it's like, right.
Yes, correct. That's
correct.
What she
correct.
Anyway, we are at the end. We'll get there. We'll get back there eventually.
Oh my God.
We have met Will, Lad of the Water Fountain. And we should note that oftentimes, you know, like the Lady of the Lake would have, she has these strange premonitions and strange sort of like interdimensional overlays of past events versus where they are in the present.
Yep.
They're like weird fantasy cutaways where, like, in this scene, for example, instead of him waiting for the water fountain, they're like at a waterfall and she's handing him like a chalice of water. Or in certain times she'll see like the football players walking down the hall, but then they're all knights walking down the hall.
Now, we establish that she is headed to the high school by the name of Avalon High, which is a school in a castle. So, Molly, this is your high school that you went to?
The mascot was a knight at my school.
Listen, 2 + 2 = 4. I think you attended here. It's a beautiful campus.
Yep. That was it. That's where I went. We didn't have a football team, so.
Oh, well, this movie was released, you know. Yeah. No, I have one then. Anyway, as Allie enters the school, we meet Bully, Marco. Marco is bullying Sassy Nerd. And we don't know Sassy Nerd's name yet, but he's Miles. And I liked Miles as Gilbert. I just want to put that out there. I submit to you both, Miles as Gilbert.
Mm.
Miles is not taking this lion down. He's given a lot of verbal jabs back at Marco.
Can I ask you all, what is your opinion on the quippy nerd trope?
Ooh. I like it.
I sort of hate it.
Mm. I think it depends on the quippy nerd.
Because I
like this one.
I think that it... I like Miles, don't get me wrong. I enjoy that character, but I think that it makes the bully seem weaker if, like, the nerd's got a shot back every time. Like, every time Marco says something to Miles, Miles just shoots back at him, and it's like we're going toe-to-toe, and it doesn't feel like he's being bullied in the way that, like, that power dynamic is there. And so I think it makes Marco look weaker if Miles holds up to him.
See, I think because most of the time the bullies are intimidating the nerd with like physical things or like often popularity, not so much Marco, because he's kind of like the weird, like emo outcast, but like oftentimes the trope's like it's the football captain being mean to the nerd.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I like when the nerd is sassy back, because at least the nerd gets something.
Yeah.
Whereas versus like physical abuse or like popularity.
I enjoy
abuse.
I enjoy the idea of I'm smarter. I can like, you know, whatever, I can outwit. But I do think that just for like the simple setup of the characters, it makes Marco not look as intimidating because Miles, who's meant to be the nerd, is like just hanging with him.
Yeah. There's a couple one-liners, though, that I laughed at Miles.
Sure. Yeah. Again, I like the character a lot.
We have this initial interaction that is then, as Marco is bullying, Miles will appears and intercedes.
A knight in shining armor.
Yeah. through a like camera flare.
Yeah.
Like blinding light at camera, he emerges from the sun. Like.
Yeah. And we find out a couple of bits of information here. The most important one being that Marco is Will's stepbrother. That is going to come to play later when we have the roles as they should fucking be assigned in this dynamic. We also learn Will dates a girl named Jen, has been dating her for about 3 years.
Mm.
We learn that Will's best friend is Lance.
Why can't you call her Gwen?
Yeah,
Because we call Lance Lance.
Why
hit the nail on the head there?
Her name be Gwen?
Why can't Will's name be Arthur? Like, let's just do
call
it.
Call him Artie.
Well, because he's not Arthur.
It should at least
have started with an A.
Well, Allie does.
I agree.
I wanted to say here that I feel like if you know the story of Camelot, you got a leg up watching this movie. Like, sure. I feel like understanding that story helped me watch this movie. Mm. And that if I didn't know the story of Camelot, I might be a little confused.
Mm.
But knowing that Guinevere has an affair with Lancelot and that ruined, like, it was like, okay. Oh, and I was like immediately like, that would make Miles Merlin. Like, it's like immediately you figure it out.
But again, that feeling, I agree with you, Molly. I think that's an excellent point and observation, which makes it all the more disruptive
when
at the end of this film and they abandon it in a way that is, that just feels, I understand why that decision was made in that particular boardroom, but It doesn't serve the story. It doesn't make the story feel good.
This is not the place to have... You can have a strong female lead and not make her Arthur. Like, she is not a weaker character if she's not Arthur. Allie is still a strong female character, even if she's the Lady of the Lake. Like, it doesn't... it makes the story worse.
Well, because, I mean, in at least the play, Gwen's a strong character, too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, she makes a mistake, but, like, she's a pretty strong character, too, and a very good, like, leader of her people. Mm-hmm, so
sure.
There is room for other women to.
I have to also
be powerful women.
Comment, Alan. You mentioned this earlier as somebody that moved around a lot. I feel like the beginning of this movie is just a kid that moved around a lot's wet dream.
Oh my god! Immediately, like, the popular kids
they
are
wake
like,
up, they wake up. Their parents are like, by the way, you're staying here for 3 years. You could try out for every team you've ever wanted to be, and you could make friends. And then you go to school, and you just get gobbled up by the football captain, his head cheerleader girlfriend. Yeah. And like, it's like, oh, you're our friends now. And like, it's like, okay, who wrote this and was the kid that moved around a lot?
I just remember watching this being like, that's not how that works. That's not how that fucking works at all. I'm jealous. I'm envious. But you know what? Good on you there, Allie.
Especially because she like befriends Miles, who's the nerd, which is typically like a quick way to ruin your social status is hanging with the nerds.
And Miles even says that because in the class that they're in, we meet Mr. Morton, who is the one of the only key teacher figure we have. And Miles,
sorry, what was his name again?
Mr. Morton.
More what? Oh, Toon. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, don't worry though. That's also not the book. So hey, we'll get to that. We'll get to that too.
Not a real obvious setup though here.
Yeah, right. So in Mr. Morton's class, Allie sits next to Miles and starts chatting with him. And Miles is effectively like, "Why are you doing this? Like, you want to be popular, right? You shouldn't be friends with me. That's not how this works." She's like, "I'll be friends with whoever I want to be friends with."
Okay.
And then
go ahead and just say this. I think the writing in this movie is fucking terrible. And this dialogue specifically. And this is one of the first instances I felt, because Allie sits down just like sitting in the only open desk and it's just like, "Hi." And he's like, "Don't talk to me. That's going to ruin your social situation." And I was like, dude, she said hello. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. The reaction he gives her.
It feels as if he is always floating between like a 7 and a 10 in terms of like how he responds to his external stimuli, or frankly, his own internal stimuli. Cause one thing we're going to learn about Miles here soon.
He's Harry Potter.
Is that he, yep.
He's Harry Potter getting visions from Voldemort.
Well, he's Merlin. He's Merlin getting visions from the future.
Yeah, but he goes, every time, just like Harry.
Well, according to his own description, it feels like he gets hit in the head with a brick every time that happens. And I thought, if I got hit in the head with a brick, I don't know. Never happened to me. But if I got hit in the head with a brick at force, I'd probably pass out.
Probably.
I'm not just going to go, "Ow, no, ow." I'm probably passed out.
Yeah.
In any case, we have Mr. Morton giving this, giving these students their plot assignments. First, we have Will. And it doesn't matter who's Will's parents, they never see them again. But it is learning That's about true. The Knights of Camelot. Cool, dog. You're King Arthur. You should probably learn about the Knights of
Will's
Camelot.
No, Will's learning about the sport of Camelot.
The sport. Well, he's a football player.
They talk about you're the captain. How apropos that you would learn about the sport of Camelot.
Lance and Jin, because they have to be paired together, learn about the tragedy of Camelot.
Yeah.
Which is the betrayal of Arthur.
Lancelot and Guinevere.
The love
Lancelot
triangle.
And Guinevere, yeah.
Yeah. And Allie and Merlin, Miles, have to learn about the Order of the Bear.
Am I supposed to believe that anyone could have gotten that slip?
Yes.
No. There's no shot.
You're supposed to believe
Mr. Morton, 100%. I literally wrote here, Mr. Moore. Mr. Moore gives me bad vibes. Bad vibe, Mr. Moore.
How else would you explain it?
Well, fate, because that's the sort of like deus ex machina that they're using to explain all of these things.
It should also be noted that Allie's parents wrote their textbook.
Yeah.
Which is just like,
and Mr. Moore's like got a hard on about this. Like, he is so thrilled that she's in the class.
Yeah.
We got track and field trials.
She's fast and still runs like a weirdo. Those are two things that occur.
She's the Flash. But the most important thing from my point of view, and I just had to point this out, is my girl's running without a sports bra. She is running in like leisure sweatpants, like fleece sweatpants and a tank top, not running clothes. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, how are you possibly doing this? Everyone else running in actual running gear, and she's just running in like her pajamas basically. Yep. And it was very distracting because I was like, the chafing, the bouncing, it'd be a nightmare. But she does it a lot, so maybe she's just used to it.
She runs all the time. She runs a lot. This is how she's learned to run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her life's going to change when she finds out sports bras exist.
And she almost sets a school record without a sports bra.
Imagine when
imagine
she is
if
properly
she, imagine
equipped.
If yeah. she was dressed properly.
Yeah.
Now, Molly, to your point, after Allie nearly sets a record in not the right equipment, she is next found at home. And Miles shows up at the door like, hey, I know we have an assignment. It's due in like 4 weeks. We're going to do it all right now.
Did you all notice that the camera work changed?
Oh my God. It was so bad. I wrote it down. I wrote it down.
It's so shaky and tilty.
It's so shaky.
They have like
four cameras.
It's hand cam.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
In the house.
And the guy drank.
Specifically in the
house. And the guy drank a whole coffee before holding the camera. Yeah, and it is so shaky.
Shaky.
They do it like.
It's Blair Witch in there.
In the home. And then I think at the party. But most of the time, they've got steady cams that they're shooting on for this movie. But it is Blair Witch Project, Molly.
Like, it's Cloverfield in that house. It's like,
just, and I'll never forget watching it just like, it just slowly tilts to the side.
And it was like rocking. And I was like, am I losing it? Or is that...
No, they changed the whole way they shot this movie.
And there were like four hand cams, I think, because they kept going to different angles. Or the one guy's just running around the scene. But
it just felt like he was swinging that thing around every chance he got. Like, it was so distracting to me.
It was... Something.
Not great. I did not enjoy feeling as if I was like this. That is a first person perspective into that home. And I don't need to
Who
feel like
am
I'm
I?
There.
Which store, which character in the Arthur story am I?
Yeah. Like,
you're the audience in Spamalot
or somewhere.
I'd like to be Sir Sagamore, please.
No, you are the fourth wall, quite literally. And they're just like, look at the things you're supposed to see, viewer. It's awful. Anyway, Miles is like, guys, I got to do my assignments before and half the time allotted to prove I'm better than everybody else, which
I laughed.
That's a Merlin nod because Merlin was notoriously arrogant. So like, I was like, ah, okay, I get that. And
you know, you guys know which Harry Potter house Merlin was in?
What Harry Potter house is Merlin in, Molly?
He was a Slytherin.
Mm.
Yeah.
So he was evil?
No.
That's what you're saying.
Well, I mean, she's not saying that, but every dark wizard ever.
You're correct.
Has come from Slytherin.
That's right.
But
so.
First of all, nuh-uh. Second of all,
first, what a coherent and potent argument.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Nuh-uh. Are you forgetting?
I'm sorry. I'm going to hit you back with this one. I'm going to sit this out. Let me sit this one out. To say he's a dark wizard is to assign him that amount of power. Holy shit!
Peter
balls.
Pettigrew.
Yeah, he's not a dark wizard. He's a whelp.
He most definitely is not a good guy.
That doesn't make him a dark wizard.
He's a Death Eater.
Okay, Molly, let's just talk about degrees of villainy here for a minute.
It doesn't matter.
We should get back to the task.
My point is, Merlin was a Slytherin. Continue.
So, in none of the books that they have in this home of two professors of medieval literature who've got raging boners for King Arthur, can they find anything about the Order of the Bear? And Miles suggests repeatedly to Allie, be like, hey, talk to your parents about it. And she's like, no, I want to find it on my own. Ultimately, though, one Miles headache and prediction of pain later, Allie does ask mom and dad, like, hey, let's talk about the Order of the Bear. They exchange a very...
it's a knowing glance.
Significant look,
it's
right?
It's a knowing glance. Right.
And in this house that they moved into yesterday, mom opens a secret compartment and from it pulls forth a tome that is leather bound, gold inlaid.
Is this like this book, right?
Uh-huh.
Feels so important. Doesn't feel like a textbook, right? Uh-huh. It feels like this is the book from King Arthur.
Correct.
Like this is his heirloom. Mm-hmm.
You might call it a Tablet of Commandments.
But I'm just
Wowzers.
Saying, I'm just saying the way that the book looks, mm-hmm. the way they handle the book, and then ultimately what happens with this specific copy of this book, it mm-hmm. feels like this is the book.
I read this as, this is the thing that the D&D group, the party, the questing party, finds and becomes their, like, this is our map to the...
Yeah, sure.
To the end goal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is the part where it's like... Okay, the idea, obviously, fate, but like, if you start poking at this movie, it really falls apart fast. But the idea that any other, obviously they were the only pair that could have possibly gotten that sled that said Order of the Bear, because literally no one else could have ever found anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the parents have one book. It's stashed away in a hidden compartment in a bag.
And it's from King Arthur himself.
And it's got a, we're going to find out, a fucking secret page.
That's what I'm saying.
Cut open.
That's what I'm saying.
I just, when you say it from King Arthur himself, it's like,
he penned it.
What is it that they, between Hamilton and Burr when they're writing letters?
Oh,
I'm proud to be your obedient servant.
A dot Ham.
Yeah. A dot. What is A, what is Arthur's last name?
A dot Thur.
A dot Arthur.
R dot Thur.
K dot Arthur. Anyway.
That's what I'm imagining. I'm imagining that, like, either Merlin or King Arthur himself, like, penned this.
Where the fuck did they get that book?
I don't know. That's my point.
They are old. Order of the Bear members themselves.
Well,
that's
she is.
That's, well, and he is a reluctant.
Tonight's the night that you learn your mom's in a cult.
Like, yes, that is it.
That is what's happening.
That feels so D&D to me, by the way. All of this movie felt like a D&D.
Because mom's like, Order of the Bear is this group of people. We believe that King Arthur's coming back. And dad's like, it's a story.
Yeah, like a we is a strong thing.
I'm not going to hammer this hard, okay? I am going to say, I did write down a note. Arthur is Jesus at this moment. Because they introduce a prophecy that says, at humanity's darkest hour, a state football game, that Arthur is going to return to save humanity. And meanwhile, dad's like, it's just a metaphor. It's not real. And mom's like, no, it says it in the book. It's 100% going to happen. And I was like, this is an allegory for the Bible. Like, I'm not going to hammer it more than that. I'm just saying that, like, I got real, like, he is coming vibes from this movie. It felt one-to-one. And so I don't know what the inspiration of writing it was. Maybe it's all based on Arthur. But a, like, Arthur returns story feels really close to what we're talking about. And this is mom being like, by the way, I'm in a religion. Like, it just feels one-to-one to me.
I will be looking at it through the lens of a wayward Dungeons and Dragons party who is getting some very strong hints from a very culty woman, also known as Allie's mother.
Yep.
Effectively, what we learn in this juncture is that it is the job of the Order of the Bear to ensure that Mordred and whoever he's, because he's already been reincarnated.
Maybe.
As someone, perhaps. Is to stop Mordred from setting from like destroying Arthur, from whatever that means.
Yep,
and setting about the Dark Ages returning.
And they're obviously hinting that Marco is Mordred.
Yeah, you know, if this was the book, Marco is
right.
But hey, it's not. So Allie has this massive revelation and then just sleeps like a baby. That's not true. She wakes up in the middle of the night. It's like, I've got to start reading more about this Order of the Bear. As she's flipping through, she sees some imagery that's important. A crown keeps slipping through the book. And then she says, oh shit, my high school is in this book that was penned by King Arthur himself. We do a great graphical transition, everybody, from the book back into Avalon High.
I liked it.
Where Allie sees some things.
Mm.
She sees some things and some stuff. And that is Jin and Lancelot getting pretty close in that stairwell.
Who could have predicted this?
I'm shocked by it personally.
Couldn't be me, pal. Couldn't be me. And in this section, you see her like grapple with this moment.
Yeah.
We don't deal with it right now. There's no real significance to it at this juncture because we need another running montage.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what?
This one has a sick-ass soundtrack.
This one is to Battlefield by Jordan Sparks.
Yeah, it is.
And this song fucking slaps.
It bangs! I hadn't heard it in so long!
It bangs so much! And I sit down and I go, I'm going to add that to my gym playlist. And you know the first song I listened to at the gym today?
Battlefield?
Battlefield by Jordan Sparks.
Nice.
It was, and then I added No Air, another banger by Jordan Sparks.
Sure.
I forgot about that song, too. No Air. But how do you expect me That was a great song. Anyway, this good. Song bangs, worth her terrible running montage.
Her hat Correct. Gets blown off.
I agree.
Yeah.
This one, at least.
This one.
This, yeah, this one
particular
worth it to hear that song.
Worth it for Jordan Sparks. Yeah.
Now, in this running montage, Allie's hat gets blown off, and it just so happens to settle into the lap of Will as he is sitting underneath the tree.
The tree!
Now, if you are...
The tree!
If you are familiar with the Arthur story, the tree... This is... The tree is where Arthur goes to hide when he has been told he is betrothed and set to have an arranged marriage.
Is it Merlin from the tree too? There's something about Merlin in a tree.
You're thinking of the Dueling Dragons Halloween Horror Nights where Merlin has turned into a tree, Molly. That's what you're thinking of?
I definitely am.
That's not a part of lore at all.
You know, I'm absolutely thinking about that.
So this is where, in terms of like the Arthur lore, Arthur was said to return to that tree a lot when he needed to like contemplate things and think things through. So naturally, the Lady of the Lake finds Arthur at the tree.
Yeah.
And they have this conversation where Will is like, gosh, I used to enjoy this football thing, and now everybody expects so much of me, and it's going to be so tough.
And sorry, I got to get a scholarship.
Alan, I'm going to need you to fall in and out of accents a little bit more for me here, buddy, because this poor boy cannot.
And so what it means is I just couldn't do it.
This poor boy
cannot
keep his American accent going.
No.
He tries his best.
Is he British?
Can't.
The actor?
You know what? I don't know, but he certainly switches in and out of an accent pretty heavily here. This is Greg Sulkin is the name of the actor.
Born in London, England.
Yep, there it is. Born in London, England. London, England, UK. Oh, he's our age.
I won't hammer this too much, but once again, I thought the dialogue here was fucking terrible. And I don't think these characters have any chemistry at all.
You didn't like his speech, Allie's speech here?
I think that they both sound so awkward delivering each one of these lines. And the lines don't make any sense. Like, this is not how people talk.
Well, Max.
Jen calls him at one point, and
He ignores it.
And she goes, how long have you guys been together? And he goes, 3 years. Don't ask.
About what?
She goes,
3 years?
She goes, what? And he goes, about why I didn't answer the phone call.
It's about like, why I didn't answer the phone call.
That's just not, like, that's not how people...
Well, Max, you see clearly.
The dialogue writing in this movie, I told Alan right before we went live, I said, partway through this movie, I wrote, this movie is making me sad. And it's because the dialogue in this film was causing me physical harm. It was...
the words came out and strangled your eardrums.
Correct. Yeah. listening to the dialogue in this movie was causing me physical harm. It was so poorly written, and no one has any chemistry.
Yeah,
it was paining me.
My rose-colored glasses of this were like, oh, I see what they're trying to do. I'm not saying they're successful, to be clear.
Yeah,
I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to have all of these teenagers who are intended to represent medieval counterparts. They are trying to have these teens talk in a way that it was medieval. And I was like, okay, I respect the attempt. Do I think it was successful? No, but I respect the attempt at it.
Oh man.
After this speech where Allie tells Will to lead your team to glory and live in that moment. I fucking can't, but I loved it. Oh my God, it was so bad. We have the scene where, of course, Will ignores his call from Jen, as you mentioned, Max, but Allie invites Will over for friend burgers.
Nope. We gotta be more clear on how awkward this conversation is.
Oh, it's for friend burgers.
Because she's like, my dad's making burgers. And he's like, I like burgers. Mm-hmm. She's like,
do you want to come over and eat burgers?
Yeah, my dad makes great burgers. And he's like, burgers sound good. And then she's like, yeah. Dude,
there's like five seconds between every line. It's so fucking awkward.
My dad's making them. And he's like, that's great. Cool. I also, again,
wish my dad was making burgers. Like burgers.
And then finally she's like,
you want to come over for burgers?
Did you want a burger?
Let me give you another. Yeah.
And then it cuts to the burgers. They look terrible.
Dad is not good at making burgers.
Let me give you one more example of the dialogue where he says something about his tree. Yeah. And she says, football players aren't supposed to talk like that. He says, you're making fun of me? No. And then he goes, all anyone wants to talk to me about is football. And she goes, what else do you want to talk about? And he says, that's the problem. I can't think of anything else. The fuck are we doing here?
You can talk about how would you like burgers.
That all of that dialogue accomplished nothing.
We can go anywhere. My man could be like, I want to be
this tree.
Yeah, anything.
You could be like, you ever had spaghetti?
Later he's going to say he wants to be president of the fucking United States. And you're telling me you can only think about football?
That's correct.
That's she a 17-year-old?
She says, tell me about anything else. And he goes, it's all I have.
And I want to be a politician.
No, I want to be the politician. Is what he says. Right. By the way, I don't trust any 17-year-old kid that tells me they want to be the president of the United States. I don't trust any of them.
Oh, God. Now, I don't know if you guys wanted to be really uncomfortable, but guess what? We're about to be really fucking uncomfortable. After Dad scuffs every piece of red meat in that home, they sit down to eat.
You know why he might have messed it up? You know why he might have messed up those burgers?
Why's that, Mom?
Wait, you're interrupting my lead-in for that?
I think that it's because Don Lake, who plays Allie's father, and that is how he's credited on IMDb, by the way. Neither of her parents get a name. They're just Allie's mother and Allie's father.
Anyway, they don't deserve a name.
Don Lake is normally...
Woman on drugs.
Don Lake, previously, or in the future, I guess, is going to become...
Previously on last time.
He's going to become a vegetarian.
What? What are we doing?
Is this Armageddon?
He's gonna become a vegetarian when he voices Stu Hopps, Judy Hopps' dad in Zootopia.
Holy shit. He's gonna become a vegetarian.
You're saying
he is a wild way to get there.
Well, you could have also gone with rabbit. Like,
no, it's more fun this way.
He's gonna become a vegetarian.
Oh my God. Oh, go
he
on.
Really is.
You know, it also in Zootopia, there's a character named Duke Weaselton, which is a joke from Frozen, but it's lived out and voiced by Alan Tudyk, who plays a lot of Disney characters.
But where I met him
is when he played Watt in A Knight's Tale.
Yeah, I knew that one was coming.
Yeah. What did you want to say about A Knight's Tale earlier?
Nothing.
How good it is?
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
You want to talk about how it's a good medieval film?
I don't want to talk about it anymore. I wanted to talk about it. No, I love Night's Tale.
Yeah, it's great.
Great soundtrack.
Great. Banger soundtrack.
Actually, like, I remember when that movie came out, that there was actually, like, media talk about how they were integrating modern rock music into medieval. Like, it was, like, how it was being talked about.
It was
about.
So good.
So fun.
Vision's in it.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he is the bard.
He is.
Yeah.
A very drunken bard.
He's very drunken. He's Chaucer. Bard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love that movie.
I need to watch it again. I was just thinking I want to watch it.
Is that what we do after this pod?
Maybe. But the lead of A Knight's Tale, William Thatcher, is Heath Ledger.
Of course.
A
prince.
Mist. And I also love Heath Ledger as Gabriel Martin in The Patriot.
Mm. Yeah,
that's another movie I haven't watched in a while, but that movie makes me cry a million tears. And that's because Colonel William Toffington, couldn't read my own handwriting for
Toffington.
A second, murders Toffington. Heath Ledger.
He does.
And his brother and a bunch of other people because he's fucking terrible.
Yep.
And he's played by Jason Isaacs, who in 1998's hit cinematic masterpiece Armageddon plays Ronald Quincy, the smartest guy in the room. And yeah, he might be the smartest guy in the room, but he's not Droning Guy.
Droning Guy?
Who's played by Christian Clemenson. That's how he's credited. Christian Clemenson appeared on an episode of Law & Order SVU as Forreston Graham. Of course, SVU would be nothing without Detective Olivia Benson, played by Mariska Hargitay. She also made a short appearance as Myra Okubo in the Animal Eats People film Lake Placid. Big fan of that movie. Yeah. I actually watched it today after I did this Armageddon.
Is it described as an Animal Eats People film?
To me, it is.
Oh, okay.
I think it's called horror, but I like to call it an Animal Eats People genre. It's one of my faves.
A well-known one.
Yes.
Yeah. Multiple of my top five favorite movies are Animal Eats People.
I'm aware.
Yeah. In this movie, you have a crazy old lady named Mrs. Bickerman who's feeding the crocodile, which is why it gets so big.
This is why you watch Lake Placid today?
Yeah, and that crazy old lady is played by Betty White, most famously probably played Rose Nyland on The Golden Girls.
Sure.
Where you had an executive producer named Mark Cherry, who I knew, first knew his name, because he is one of the head writers and he's the creator of Desperate Housewives. Ooh. Where you had one of the housewives named Lynette Scavo, played by Felicity Huffman. She was also on that show American Crime, where it's like one of those shows where it changes every season, like American Horror Story.
Oh,
like
sure.
Each season,
an anthology
show. Yeah. And she plays a different character in every season, but in season two, she played Leslie Graham alongside a character named Eric Tanner, who was played by Joey Polari, who in this film is Merlin Miles.
Oh. Hey.
You've been Armageddoned, the part of the show where Molly, by no one's urging, has found yet another way this DCOM can be tied to the smash hit Armageddon. Don't tell her to stop because she won't.
Anyway, let's get back to the most awkward scene that has happened thus far in this
film. Uh-huh.
Grade A cringe from Mom right now.
Will sits down. They're splitting perhaps 2.5 of the salvaged pieces of meat. And there is no prompting whatsoever. And Allie's mother launches into a poem about the beauty of King Arthur as he removes his helmet from his head and the luscious raven locks that spill out from beneath his helm. And the way that everybody at the table just was quiet for an uncomfortable amount of time before Mom was like, I just thought you'd like to hear a poem. I was like, I was so loud in this moment, Max. Mom was like, I can't hear what the mom is saying. I need to rewind it. Because I was like, stop it. It was atrocious. Now, thankfully, you don't have to linger on this scene for too long. Our next section is we are at one of the Knights football games. The game all comes down to the final play. And Will is able to connect with Lance for a touchdown, and they win the game.
Heck yeah.
Woo. Now, Will's like, hey, Al, you want to come to the after party? You should come. And she's like, abso-fucking-lutely, I'm going to come to this after party. Miles, you're coming with me. And Miles is like, I don't want to go to an after party. She's like, you don't have a choice. You're coming.
That's right.
So through bullying, just in a different way, and peer pressure, we have Miles going to the party.
But then he sees a cute girl and he's into it.
Yeah, he does.
The girl looks exactly like Allie and who we will basically never see again.
Yep.
That is
That's
true.
A fact.
Glad that's in the movie.
Yeah, it's necessary, really.
Boy, but he does make a comment about, there's another Twilight reference here. And I thought, Twilight really has a grip on society right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because they say something about, teenage vampires are everywhere these days, is what he says. And I was like, damn, it had a grip on this genre.
It really did.
Because we just got a reference in Den Brother, and now we've got another one.
I'm telling you, Twilight was a
phenom.
Seriously.
Now, during this party, there's an early confrontation between Marco and Will, where Marco has spread out gummy spiders and other gummy candy bugs amongst the actual well-cooked hamburgers that have been offered to the patrons of this party. And Will's like, you're fucking ruining the party, man, because of your candy bugs.
With your hijinks.
Yeah.
And shenanigans. And Marco's like, oh, yeah. You can't. Marco's thing is to be uncomfortably quiet and close. And he just listener, I'm sorry, but you're gonna have to deal with this in the microphone. Oh yeah? You don't like that? Well, guess what? You're not gonna like what else is coming to you. And Will's like, don't make me do something I'll regret.
What are you guys gonna do?
You're gonna do a scrap in the backyard of your suburban home? Your little A-frame?
And I regret that you married your mom.
Single parent.
And my mom married your dad. He says, the only thing I regret is that my dad died. My mom married your dad.
It's okay.
And then
Yeah, that's a fair regret, I think.
And then Will turns around to Allie and is like, he's just angry because his dad died. And then his mom married my dad. And I was like, yeah, we just heard that.
Yeah, she probably picked up on that.
Yeah, Will, we read the script.
he just said that out loud, actually.
This is one of those situations.
I don't need you to say it another time, my dude.
They've shown us that, actually.
I also like that Will turns to Allie, he walks outside. There's a whole party of people that saw this, and he turns and he goes, Allie, I'm so sorry about that.
And all of you other people, you fucking deal with it.
Go fuck yourselves.
Go deal with it.
But okay, Miles has his best line in the movie right here, possibly, because Marco's like, let's get out of here to like his like evil friends. And he's like, they're letting all the mega nerds in here.
Yeah.
And Miles goes, when I'm in Yale and you're in jail, I'll tell everyone how cool you are. And I did laugh out loud.
That's good.
A pretty good joke.
Yeah. There were times where Miles would say some shit and I was like, this is where they spent the good writer was your writer. Yeah. Like this is when I wrote
that Miles is better than Gilbert.
Mm.
Yeah, I think we should talk about the Gilbert scale. I would put forward that Miles is Gilbert. That would also mean, weirdly, that allegorically, Merlin is Gilbert.
Right. I mean, how are you not going to put a literal wizard above Gilbert?
Yeah, you gotta put Miles above Gilbert. Now, Allie goes to find Will, who's sort of like going through the house. And Allie happens upon once more. Well, after opening, like snooping through Will's home and finds the crown. That again would to any other writing team cement Will as King Arthur.
No.
Instead, we're like, linger on the crown for a half beat. All right, now have Allie turn around a corner and sees them as our folks across the pond would say, snogging.
Yeah, they are too.
They are surprised by Allie's presence, and Jen looks to her and then runs to her in tears, like, you can't tell Will.
Jen sucks. Jen sucks. Cause Jen's like, I really do love Will, but Lance and I love each other more, and Will and I don't have chemistry anymore. And you can't tell him because it will ruin his world, and then we won't win the football game.
It's so fucking dumb.
And Allie, who was like steadfast in going to tell Will, is like, well, that's a good point.
Yes. I literally wrote, you're correct, Allie has no allegiance to you.
No, she met you like 2 weeks ago. I just was like, Allie, don't go tell him. Like,
can I just also say, like, they're really bad at sneaking around. What are we doing? They get caught.
Four times.
God, they're so bad.
It's like, obviously we need them to get caught for the film, but if you're actually sneaking around fucking your best friend's girl, be a little bit more subtle.
Why are you at the party? Why are you upstairs?
In his home.
In his house.
Like the amount of confidence that you have to be able to do that, that's arrogance at that point. Now, Allie, despite having absolutely no allegiance to Jen, decides to not shatter Will's world. And this is when we get some more of the night cutaways, because Molly, as you mentioned, the next day she's back at school, sees Will, Lance, two unnamed football bros walk down the hallway as knights.
Yeah.
Fully clad in armor. And then Allie makes an unquestionably stupid decision and brings the Book of the Order of the Bear, the sacred text given by the quest giver who, well, is arguably on drugs, but given by the drugged quest giver, her mother, she takes this to Mr. Moore.
Yeah.
And she says,
they said it was fine.
They did. I don't know if we should trust mom's judgment all the way, but I hear you. I do hear what you're saying. Allie plops the book down in front of Mr. Moore. Mr. Moore immediately sticks to midnight and has to, he's like, everything about class has changed. I must read this book.
Cover to cover right now.
In a 30 minutes class.
Also, it's movie day. And I have to ask you guys, you remember the joy of movie day?
I loved movie day.
God, movie day was the best.
When they wheeled out the TV on that thing.
Movie day.
I loved movie day. And I was immediately brought back to a seventh grade movie day that was in history class. And it was U.S. history. And we got in trouble because we were watching, I looked up the name of it to make sure I was remembering correctly. We were watching The Crossing, mm-hmm. which was like a made for TV movie about George Washington crossing the Delaware.
Oh, interesting.
And Jeff Daniels plays George Washington, uh-huh. and our class would not stop quoting Dumb and Dumber. To the point we all got in trouble.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Mock. Yeah.
Ing.
Yeah.
Bird.
Yeah.
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 Mockingbird.
Footlong. Who's got the footlong? Yeah, we got in big trouble with our
pills
teacher.
Are good.
And she was like, I'm going to turn this off and you're going to have to take a quiz if you guys don't stop. Mm.
God, I this is why I shouldn't be a teacher. I would have encouraged that kind of behavior. Anyway, after there's a moment where Allie and Miles have a bit of a confrontation in the classroom where Miles is like, you can only get an A. You can't get higher than an A here. I don't know what it was like in your other high school. And I was like, hey, quit hiding behind your insecurities with snark. We don't build on that other than the fact that it deepens Miles and Allie's friendship.
That's correct.
But what we do get is more angsty staring in the background from Marco as he comes to confront Allie. And he's like, I know that you know. So don't get in my way. Slams hand on locker. Allie, unintimidated. But we do get another running montage.
Mm-hmm.
Where Allie, once again, meets Will.
Yep.
And then this running montage becomes them running together.
Yeah.
At the end of which, Will says, here's a friend flower. Take it, friend. And says to Allie, it's like we were friends before we ever met.
Nice.
And then this is when they have a conversation where I was like, well, what do you want to do with the rest of your life?
He says he wants to be the politician.
And she says she wants to be a lawyer because she's big on fairness.
Now, Alan.
Yeah, tell me.
I realized in this moment why you might like this movie.
Tell me.
Because Allie takes a strong stance against line cutting.
Fucking hate line cutting.
And Will suggests a hypothetical in which he just bought a ticket to the movie and he walks toward the edge of the line and Allie's in the line and they're going to the same movie and he wants to join her and she goes, no, you get your ass to the back of the line. And I was thrust to not scary farm, Alan. And our experience in trying to go through the line and the people that came from the side and sort of joined the line and the retribution you wanted
swift
to exact upon them.
And I thought, this is Alan, the kid that moved around a lot, already experienced a wet dream at the beginning of this movie. And now his feeling on lines is being validated.
Yeah.
It's no wonder you like it.
100%,
so
man. 100%. Now, I will disagree with her here. If I understand the gray area that she's operating in, we don't need to talk about this much, but I want to. And so I understand the gray area she's operating in. If we had gone to the movie together and you had to like say skedaddle for a moment to take a phone call and then wanted to jump back in line with me, no big deal.
Now, hold on. You two are going to a movie. You're
and we just run into Max.
You're
going
to go see Avalon High.
Here, yep.
In
Cats. Oh boy,
in
can we?
You're going to go see a special theater release of Avalon High.
And there's a long line.
Long line of people.
Huge
hasn't
line.
Been out since 2010.
Yeah.
Into 2010.
Yeah.
I, unknowingly, also going to Avalon High.
Of course.
So I come upon you in the line.
Yeah.
You're halfway up.
Uh-huh.
Long line.
I hear you.
Can I stand with my best friends and co-owners of a business? Or
you can.
Must... Now, hold on, Alan.
Now, here's the distinction. We have a long-standing relationship.
Will would have a long-standing relationship with Allie. In his scenario, she says, get your ass to the back of the line.
First of all, we're not taking into account past lives here, Max. They've known each other for a week and a half.
She's his king.
She's his lady of the lake.
I would let you in the line, Max.
Thanks, I'd let you in the line, Max.
If it was just you, definitely. Now,
whoa!
No, if the more people you're with, the less likely it is.
Oh, if I've
now,
got
that
a,
is a ratio.
If I've got a bunch of people, I
if you've got like
come.
10 people, then I'm being a dick to the people behind
I
us.
Understand.
But if it's just,
I feel like
you,
just me, it's
if
fine.
It is less than or equal to the number you currently are, it is acceptable.
No, if we're 10, we're not letting 10 in with us. That's too many.
You're right. There is a quotient where that stops. I'd argue four.
I think more than two is too many.
Mm.
In any case, she does want to exact swift retribution upon those she thinks are acting
people
unfairly.
Scary farm.
Those people did deserve regulation. I want you to know, you mentioned that, I felt my blood pressure go up. I was like, I hear you. Felt it. So we leave this conversation where one person declares they wish to be president, and then the other person declares they wish to be a lawyer. And we are back at a football game.
Yep.
Lance gets distracted by his absolute shitty friendness and looking at Jen in the cheerleading stands. He forgets to block for Will, who gets absolutely clobbered.
Yeah, run over.
The Knights get beat, and they now have to beat the undefeated team next week, the Dragons.
Yeah. They lost to the Crusaders.
They lost to the Knights. Lose to Crusaders.
Everything is Knight
thing. Apropos.
We got this wonderful little bit of exchange.
Yeah, yeah.
Where Will says to Lance, "Hey, man, just keep your mind on the game." And Lance goes, "I get it if you hate me."
Hey, Lance.
Like, that feels like a...
Lance, is there something you want to say?
There's something going on in your life, buddy.
Pal, you good,
though? You feeling guilty about something?
You feel good? Can we talk about this at this point? Because Will, so after this game, Will stays late. He's feeling kind of run down. Allie goes to talk to him, wants to tell him about the Lance situation. And then we just sort of have Marco looming in the background. Uh-huh. And it is at this moment where I said out loud, God, Marco looks like he's out of college. Marco looks significantly older than every other actor here.
Yeah.
Which doesn't lend a great vibe to this scene any more than it already is. Mm-hmm. And Marco's like, "Hey, Will, you got to give me a ride home. Dad said so."
Mm.
Way to take a hit like a girl.
Casual sexism. And ultimately interrupts. Conversation interruptus.
Yeah.
Is what occurs here. Allie is unable to tell Will about what is happening. But luckily, though, now three-fourths through the movie, Allie is going to successfully complete at least one confrontation that needs to happen. And that is with Miles. Because Miles has been in front of Allie throughout this film, being like, "My head hurts really badly."
And then he says what's going to happen next.
Then predicts the future.
She goes, "Hey, you psychic?" And he goes, "Don't talk about it." She goes, "All right.
Don't use that word."
He yells at her, "Don't call me that." Like, he gets so mad.
But she's asked about it before.
Oh, no, I know.
Where she's like, "Hey, something going on there?" And he's like, "I don't want to talk about it." She goes, "Okay."
But in this moment, in the middle of the night, when Miles shows up and he's like, "Hey, you needed help?" And she's like, "No, you fucking weirdo. What are you talking about?" And she decides now to be like, "You got to tell me about what's going on. When your head hurts, you start to say shit that makes you think you got premonitions." And he's like, "I don't want to tell you about my powers because I'm already a nerd. And if I tell somebody about this, it already makes me more different," which is not a good reason to not tell somebody about this, Miles.
Also, having superpowers would be awesome. Yeah,
pretty cool. If anything, you would be more popular. But he's been having flashes of the future since he was a kid, and they've only now gotten more clear. And what he has just seen is that the Order of the Bear Journal has a secret page.
Yes.
So he goes inside and uses a pocket knife to cut open an artifact of history to reveal a very well thought out astrological chart that predicts the exact moment that Arthur shall return. Now, neither of them are great at reading astrological charts, but what they do have is access to a smartphone.
Yeah, it's like an LG Envy 2 or a Sidekick. It flips open. It's got a whole keyboard.
And he researches, and you know, wouldn't you know it, that this the astrological events that they are seeing are a total lunar eclipse and a meteor shower happening in the same night.
That only happens once every 1,000 years.
When's it going to happen?
Next Friday.
Thank God.
So, which was also, wait for it, everybody, the night of the big game.
Wow.
Whoa.
Who could have predicted it?
Who would have thought?
So now Allie takes all this information to her parents.
Yeah.
And her dad responds reasonably with like, "Wow, that's a coincidence and a crazy story." And the mom's like, "Tell us everything." And is just really invested in this story.
The whole thing. It says like, Arthur's coming back, but his stepbrother, it lays it out that it's supposed to be his half-brother.
It's just the plot of the movie. They're like, "Hey, Arthur will be back. His half-brother's evil."
Is it his half-brother or is it his son?
Well, and it's his illegitimate son.
Yeah.
In a lot of stories. Of
yeah.
Arthur. Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I was remembering the real story
born
correctly.
I can't remember her name, but born of a woman that was like
a witch.
Mm-hmm. Born of a witch that was after sitting in a tree for a while, he went and
yep.
had Point. An affair.
So, okay. But in the text, it says half brother. So then they're like, and then the dad's like, what, are you going to tell me he's got some mean stepbrother? And they're like,
Morgan Lefray, maybe.
Yeah.
Morgan. Where is it, Morgan?
Yeah.
Something like.
Yeah. A name.
And they're like, dad's like, there's no way this is gonna come true unless he's got some like mean stepbrother. And they're like, boy,
mean doesn't even begin to describe it.
Can I just say,
evil doesn't even begin to describe it.
Evil doesn't even begin to describe Marco. And I thought, yes. The kid that lurks a lot and put candy spiders on the hot dogs.
Evil.
Truly evil.
But
I had thought up until this point, like, they're doing a pretty bad job of establishing Marco as a villain character. Like,
for sure.
All they ever do is show him be, like, kind of grimacing in the background.
And, like, empty threats, like, you're going to regret it.
He likes to punch lockers.
Yeah. He definitely fucked with their science class,
though. He just listens to a lot of My Chemical Romance. Like, he doesn't...
And I was a young boy.
Yeah, he just looks emo. Like, he just looks like an emo
kid.
Well,
he definitely fucked with their science stuff.
My father died in the mother...
actually, we're getting there. But, okay, so they're...
Arthur's dead.
So, yeah, actually, he hasn't done that.
He hasn't done that yet.
So when they say this, all he's done is lurk menacingly. All he's done is lurk menacingly and put candy spiders on hot dogs.
And threaten to throw Miles in his locker, but not actually do it.
Right.
And punch a locker that Allie was standing next to.
Evil doesn't begin to describe
Evil
it.
Doesn't begin to describe
okay,
him.
But even then, they say... They basically are like, what's going to happen is Marco / Mordred, he's just going to be a big bummer. Like, he's just going to be a big bummer because his whole thing is that he's going to make Arthur have a bummer day.
Yep.
And it's like, they're all like, this can't happen. And I understand that's a much bigger deal when you're the king and it's like a kingdom you have to save. But they're just like, he's going to fuck up the football game.
Yeah, it's going to ruin state.
He's bringing a bummer day at the worst day, at the worst possible time.
And then Allie does the natural thing, which is go tell all of this information to the suspicious teacher.
That's right.
And he's super down with it, man. You know, he's like, I've had a hunch that this Will kid was King Arthur for a while.
And I'm definitely in the Order of the Bear.
I'll keep an eye on it. But we should say that during this time, there is some undermining of Will that goes on before Allie tells Mr. Moore. Which is important because it like disintegrates the confidence that his teammates have in him because somebody pegs him for cheating on a test.
Somebody, definitely Marco.
And then after all this, he tells Mr. Moore about Will. After we have in chemistry, some Miles has a brick to the dome premonition of a beaker being tampered with.
And it explodes.
Has no effect on anybody.
No, but it could have. And I wrote like, did he just go from like mild school bully to attempted murderer? Because like you could actually really hurt someone fucking with the chemistry
stuff. Yeah.
And it does explode.
It does. I just had to love Alan. You alluded to this, which was that like, so Will gets caught with a cheat sheet under his shoe.
Yeah.
And then he goes to practice and his teammates all have cheat sheets like on them, which they're like teasing him for it, whatever. And then this kid on the team beams another kid with a football, like throws it as hard as he can and beams this kid with a football. And Will's like, hey man, don't do that. And he's like, how about you not cheat on a test? And I thought, really, that's your moral high ground? You just
physical caused assault.
Physical harm to another person. Your moral high ground is he had a cheat sheet. That's
dude.
it wasn't even his.
It's just so wild.
My man didn't even, it was gone before the test. He took the test without it. Like our moral high ground is he got caught with a cheat sheet he didn't use.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a high ground, Max.
This team, like I'll just say like the arc at the end of like the team doesn't trust or whatever, not earned at all.
Yeah.
Like what needed for this to be earned, Will needed to be the reason they lost the last game, not Lance missing the block. Will needed to not hit the throw, or Will needed to like make a bad decision so that the team loses faith in Will. But instead, Lance misses the block. the team has no reason to turn on Will at all, and they completely turn on Will. And then he will do nothing to earn them back.
Yeah. Now, on the night of the game, Will arrives early. He wants to get ready, getting pads. And as he's walking past Lance's car, he sees Lance and Jen once again snogging.
Just out in public.
Out in public, in front of the school, you know, where everybody parks. And after seeing this, Will hops back in his car and drives off. And Allie...
to the thinking tree!
That's yeah, right. To the must get to the tree.
Great.
The best.
The and green backlit thinking tree.
Gotta be. And Allie, in a feat of superhuman strength, runs as fast as a motor vehicle.
Yep.
In hot pursuit of Will in his car.
She is so fast.
She's so fast.
But if you blink and you miss it, there was another superhuman who was also running after Allie to push her. Just why did push she her. Get pushed?
Why did she get pushed?
What the fuck is it happening?
Well, I would argue that it was, hey, I'm new in town, and I'm going to push him.
I don't understand why she got pushed.
Dude, I have no idea.
I understand who pushed her, but I don't understand why she got pushed.
He was going to kill her.
I just don't get it. It feels incredibly unnecessary to me in this moment.
Yep.
I just don't understand the push, if I'm being honest. There's a lot that I will allow to be brushed under the rug of this just because I think I have like rose-colored glasses for this particular genre. And I recognize that, right? But the push... No, I
doesn't make
in the
sense.
Moment I was like, why did that happen?
Yeah.
But she gets pushed into the waiting arms of Will, and she looks at Will and goes, Will, you're King motherfucking Arthur.
How would you take it if someone right now, today, told you were King Arthur?
Well, Will took it about as best as you could.
Will's like, this is a metaphor.
He said, I am like King Arthur.
I gotta rally
the knights.
AKA the football team.
I gotta go win the big game.
I gotta tell him the speech you told me earlier.
She's like, no, you are. And he's like King Arthur, correct.
And then he walks away for a long time to get to the car. And she waits till he's in the car driving to be like, no, I said you are King Arthur. And it's like, you had so long to say that. But my question stands. What would you do if somebody said right now, Max, there's been a return
of the king
of King Arthur and it's you.
I just took my sock off. I didn't mean to.
Look at Max's grippers right now.
Jealous.
I would say no. That's not true. No.
No, but I'm like, here's all the evidence, and here's my special book.
I've never pulled a sword from a rock in my life.
Here's my special book. Now,
I've
don't worry, Max.
I've not once had a lady in a lake throw a scimitar at me.
Max, don't you worry. According to my special book, it says that any sword wielded by you, King Arthur, becomes Excalibur.
Well, that's not true. I've held swords a lot.
Maybe no, not the right ones.
It just happened.
I just now became King Arthur?
Yeah.
There was a convergence.
It starts now.
Oh.
And here's a plastic sword.
I think I had that plastic sword for the record. No, I don't think so. You know what I appreciate about this movie is that it's not like Twitches.
Yeah, where he goes, I am King Arthur.
Well, even pulling a Star Wars where Luke's like, my sister has it. And she's like, I know. I've always known. Even when we kissed a little bit.
Yeah, even when we smooched is when I really knew.
I've always known. It's like, you sort of expect him to go, you're right. I've always known.
I am King Arthur.
Whoa.
Except that he's not, so.
You know, don't worry. We're going to pull
turn
that
around and go, no, your highness, you're King Arthur.
Yes, he should.
Do the reverse.
Get the crown.
Just hit her with that Uno card.
Get the crown out of his backpack.
Yeah. Pull the reverse Uno card back and just go, no, you are.
You take the sword.
I know you are, but what am I?
I'm rubber. You're glue.
That's right.
So Will heads back to the car, drives back to the game, gets onto the field.
Oh, my God.
Goes up to the coach. Coach's like, hey, coach, I'm sorry I'm late. Coach's like, I shouldn't even play you.
Yeah.
And Will says, I apologize. And Coach says, get on that field.
His teammates just let him get sacked again. That's for not showing up.
We don't actually care about this game.
Yeah.
Well, okay. We gotta talk about a little something. I like to call it the sky in this scene.
I'm sorry. One more time.
Because
the sky.
Remember that the once every 1,000 year meteorological event is happening, and
eclipse that's and
both
shower, yes.
A meteor shower and a lunar eclipse at the same time, and it's magnificent. It is
truly
unbelievable
for all 3 seconds.
And everybody looks at it for 3 seconds and goes, "All right, back to this high school football game."
They turn all the lights off. They kill all the stadium lights. They're like, "And now, if you'll turn your attention to the sky," and then for 3 seconds it runs, and they go, "All right, back to our game."
And it's like, we just had an eclipse. I know people that got the day off to go look at the eclipse. Like, I know people that drove literal hours so that they could experience the near total darkness
at 2 p.m.
Every 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And these people are seeing a miracle of science. And they're like, yeah, but is that 16-year-old quarterback going to make this toss?
We can't pause 10 minutes for this. We got to hold it for just a few seconds.
Yes. Yeah. It's a pretty big deal. I don't know if you know.
To be clear, we'll take a pause for the cause and then back to the game.
They don't even call a timeout for the game. The lights turn off mid-play. They're just like on field.
They're like, it's first down, but we're going to give it a second. Yeah,
that's right.
We're going to let that clock run a little.
Just for the record, we are going to charge you down for that, too. Yeah.
God.
Second and 10.
I'm sorry, guys. Dragons are really going to own you on this one.
Oh, my God.
So we move from the 3 second long meteorological event astrological event to halftime, where Lance approaches Will's like, "Hey, bro, I fucked you over, but I still want to, I don't want to lose you as a friend. I'll break up with her."
He goes, "We cool?" And Will goes, "Yeah, it's fine.
You still rock with
Will,
me?"
Will's like, "You still rock
with me? You still rock with me?"
Will is literally like, "Hey, Jen and I haven't been on good terms for a while now." And I'm going to be like, "I wonder why." Yeah. I wonder why
can't
you
can't imagine why that would be.
I wonder why you two feel distant.
Hey, I know my best friend been fucking my 3-year relationship girl.
All good.
I'm still rocking with you.
I'm rocking with you. You rocking with me?
I was like, Lance and Jen deserve to be
hit by one of the meteors from the meteor shower.
Like, they get off so easy. It's unbelievable.
Some biblical levels of forgiveness. Are you right?
Hey, I forgive you, bro.
I can't with this. There's no stakes to this movie at all. There's no.
Oh, none.
There's Will no should have.
I know that it doesn't make sense in the football world because this is not how the sports work.
Yeah.
But Will somehow should have let Lance get fucking rocked.
It doesn't. Sure.
He's a receiver. There's easy ways to do that. Lead him into a safety. That's oddly specific.
Arthur condemns Guinevere to death after finding out about their affair. He condemns her to death.
And banishes Lancelot.
And Will looks at him and goes, "We cool, bro."
Which doesn't...
And I mean, I know he's not Arthur, but none of the rest of this makes any fucking sense either. So I'm just going to go with it.
Doesn't that then fuck over them for their battle they're fighting? Getting rid of Lancelot?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 It's the reason they lose.
It ultimately leads to Arthur dying.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the reason that is...
Because
he
gets rid of his best knight.
Yeah. Yes. And then Mordred kills him. Yeah. Yeah. But like, and again, none of this matters because Will's not Arthur. It just doesn't make any fucking sense. And don't come at me and tell me how the fucking Arthur story goes. Because again, as we've said, Mordred's an illegitimate child in that movie, in that story. So like, I don't know.
Oh yeah. It is at this moment, Max, where I went, "What?"
Yep.
Because in my head I was like, okay, let's say for a moment that Will finds it in his 17-year-old heart to forgive his best friend.
Yep.
Right. Let's just eliminate the fact
we're brothers.
Yeah.
So Will finds it in his 17-year-old heart to forgive his bro. And then looks to his knights.
Yeah.
And gives them the same speech he got from Allie nigh on a week and a half before.
Uh-huh.
Which really rallies the troops.
It's almost like a sword he's been given.
By the lady of the...
Yeah, it's fine.
Wow, interesting. So they go out to this football game, and they are losing 27-0.
Uh-huh.
So Will, going down the stairs, sees the score and says, I forgot my helmet, mm-hmm. and goes back to grab it. Now, everybody else in this section is like, oh no, what's happening? Where's Will? Jen runs up. He's like, it's all my fault. And Miles hits her with, yeah, kind of.
Correct.
The only person,
that's correct.
The
correct.
Only person holding anybody accountable in this movie is Miles.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, adds up for his role. They nailed Merlin in this one. So Allie goes, Miles, I know it causes you excruciating pain. Please locate.
I'm distracted by, again, they added this team arc. So he's just seemingly won them back. Even though it didn't make any sense that he lost them to begin with.
Yep, you're right.
He's just had this halftime speech.
Yep.
Everyone's motivated.
Yep.
They all go out. He goes, I forgot my helmet. He's gone for half a second.
Yeah.
Lance runs up to Allie and goes, where's Will? Everyone's asking about it. They think he's losing it, man. And I was like, what?
Why?
They just saw him. He just gave a speech. They just... What the fuck is happening?
So, Miles uses his excruciatingly painful mind powers
yep.
to locate Will, who has been taken into the theater by Marco.
Uh-huh.
And so Allie and Miles rush forward.
Is Marco going to kill him?
Is he going to kill someone?
I was like, what the fuck?
And then Allie and Miles run to the theater and they find Marco injured outside. They run inside the theater and find Will injured on the stage. And Allie's like, Will! You're King Arthur, Marco's Mordred. He's coming to cause you true devastation on this, the most important day
of your life, the state football game.
Also, Miles is Merlin. I'm an NPC.
Yeah.
And this is when a spotlight shines down upon who else but Mr. Moore.
He
says, you've gotten it all almost right, save one thing. Marco is in Mordred. I am.
And then I was like, but wait, I thought Mordred had to be a relative.
You're correct, because in the book that was written called Avalon High, Marco was Mordred. That's who he was. Mr. Morton, who is in the name
Mr.
in
Avalon Moore. High. Oh, Mr. Morton's in the
book, who is Mr. Moore, is the member of the Order of the Bear and actually represents Merlin.
Oh.
That makes more sense.
It makes more sense.
Because yeah. I kind of thought this guy's pretty sus, but also I thought maybe they were kind of making him seem sus and then they were going to do what Alan's saying, which is where he's actually good sus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I thought he was the bad guy from the beginning.
They took Mr. Morton away from the book as the Merlin advisor character.
Yeah.
And turned him into quippy but Miles. Intelligent sidekick Miles.
Yeah.
So Mr. Morton is Mordred, and Marco pops in and he's like, my dad was the Order of the Bear. As soon as he died, I took up the mantle for him. Look at my cool necklace. And I have now taken on the role of trying to protect Will for all time by being a dick and becoming friends with Mr. Moore.
They were like, why were you a dick? And he's like, I had to convince Mr. Moore I'm a dick. And then But I was like, Mr. Moore wasn't at the party.
How would he know?
Where you were a dick.
How
would
he know?
Why did you have to do that?
Like, he wouldn't know.
Your motivation doesn't make any sense.
But after, now we should be clear here. Marco has pushed a grown man through a theater's trapdoor onto instruments. And it is at this point where we watch Mr. Moore go full Mordred.
Yeah.
He summons forth his staff. It turns into the staff of dragons. He then is encapsulated in armor. And he flies, up into the stage once more.
This is when I was like, wait, did knights have powers?
Now Mordred canonically was able to wield magic.
Because his mom was a witch or something.
But
sorceress.
Mordred's like, Mordred's canonical power is knowing everybody's weakness.
Mm.
I guess a little bit of column A and column B here. But he flies, again, question mark, up from the stage trap door, lands in front of him. And now this is when things get wonky. So after using force push to move people about the place, we have a moment where Allie, like the Lady of the Lake would, gets a prop sword and goes to hand it to Will. And she says out loud, "If I give this to you, any sword you touch will become Excalibur." As she says that, the sword begins to glow, becoming Excalibur.
Yeah. And Miles goes, "It was you, Allie. You were Arthur all along."
Double plot twist.
Whoa.
And then we move into a pocket dimension.
Yep.
Where suddenly
we're back to the beginning of the movie.
We're exactly. And we must now play out the opening title cinematic fight in
full.
We're finally going to see them joust.
Yeah.
And hit each other.
They won't.
The effects, phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
The cast is all there. You've got Will as unnamed knight. You've got, or I'm just going to say Sagamore. You have Will as Sagamore.
I can't believe that the main character, the main boy lead, is not representative of anyone.
Yeah, that's accurate.
They took Arthur from him, and therefore he's no one.
Yes.
It's so wild.
Even though his arc, until this point...
Oh, it's Arthur.
Has followed Arthur.
It's Arthur. But it's just like, they didn't replace him with anyone.
Well, you're right.
Great.
I know that you thought I was going to give you some comfort there, Max. I'm sorry to tell you that I just didn't have the gumption.
There's nothing to say.
So you've got Lance. You've got Will as Sagamore. You've got Miles as Merlin. You've got Mr. Moore as Mordred. You have Marco as another knight.
Another unnamed knight.
And there is a battle occurring here where eventually Miles steals Mordred's staff and it becomes his own staff.
Yeah.
For some reason, the battle sort of stops happening.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's back on the theater stage after a moment of great intensity. And a security guard sort of blunders down the stairs. We have Paul Blart Mall Cop appears.
Yep.
And he's like, "What are you kids doing up here?" And Mr. Moore's like, "That girl has a sword," which she throws to Will, and it becomes a prop sword again.
Yep.
And so Mordred, the person who is just using incredible powers to push around and bully these children, is rendered ineffective and useless by a school security guard.
Yep, that's correct.
And is pulled away like a raving lunatic. Okay, but don't worry. We go back to the game now.
I will say real quick before we go back to the game, Will runs out. Allie and Miles go to leave. Marco says, "My, Your Highness," and he bows and he's like, "I'll always protect you." And she just goes, "LOL, I'm gonna have to use this bowing thing." And I thought, man, her laughing off his like redemption moment here is indicative of the rest of how they've treated this character, which is like not really building him up, not really doing anything of any impact with him. He has his final like, "Your Highness, I've been Order of the Bear, and this is everything I've ever..." And she's like, "LOL," and just leaves.
This is interesting.
You dumb idiot.
What a doofus. And runs out. The knights come back to defeat the dragons. Mom and dad of Allie really are like, "Well, I thought there was going to be some great battle at event, and it didn't really happen." And the dad's like, "Well, you know, it is just a story." After Will wins them the game, you know, like Arthur would, he runs up, gives Allie a smooch like he would to the Lady of the Lake. And Miles also gets a girlfriend.
That's so shoved in. Why did that happen?
Yeah. You know what's so funny? I had just like paused the movie at the end and I was looking back through my notes and I was like, boy, they're never going to come back to this girl. And then sure enough, here she is in the stands.
Yep.
And he has this like,
cool just, guy with a pin.
Yeah. She goes, cool pin. He goes, cool hair. Okay. And then that's it. And I was like,
well, they're wow, dating now.
What a payoff.
They're dating now, Max. Right. They are dating
what
now.
What a payoff we got there.
Yeah, for sure. We get a moment of acknowledgement from Will where he's like, well, if you're King Arthur, what does that make me? And she goes, my Prince Charming.
My Knight in Shining
Armor. My
Knight in Shining Armor. Thank you. And I was like, what a missed opportunity to say Lad of the Lake.
I agree.
What a missed opportunity.
100%. That would have.
If anybody has been burned or spurned by the absolute nonchalance with which we have cast off the plot of the actual tale of King Arthur, perhaps a bit of joke at the expense of this plot change would have soothed this burn.
Yep.
Instead, you are granted no relief. You are granted no respite. Instead, they are, you're my knight in shining armor. And then in an inexplicable scene, I don't know when this is supposed to have happened. This is entirely this is lost on me. And I sincerely hope both of you can help fill in the blanks.
Uh-huh.
We get a scene after the end of the movie, much like in Return of the King, where we just have endings that happen over and over and over again. The difference being in Return of the King, I liked all those endings. Uh-huh. This one made no fucking sense.
Were they around the round table?
They're just around the round table.
Uh-huh.
Why?
I don't know.
Are they aware?
I couldn't tell if this was like just a fantasy ending or if they're
just a fantasy.
Are they in Camelot now?
I don't know. What I thought was funny about this ending was, it's like it goes across all of them. Marco's there and Allie and Will and Jen and Lance. And so then like Allie stands and like pulls Excalibur and like they all point. Miles has the staff. Jen has nothing.
Everyone
at the table has a sword or Miles has a staff. Jen has nothing. She just stands there with her arms crossed.
That's what she deserves. Nothing.
Why the fuck is she there?
Why would she or Lance be there?
Oh my God. Why is she there?
Why would she or Lance be there?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Allie has even less reason.
Yes.
Exactly.
Like, oh my God.
Yes. And that's how the movie ends. Let's get to these ratings.
Alan, you go first.
I'll start. I give this a 6.5.
Okay.
Now, is this a good movie? No. Is it a great movie plot-wise? No. Is it even the correct telling of King Arthur and his Knights of the Round Table? Abso-fucking-lutely not. Is it even the right retelling of the book that it is based on? No. But for some reason, I found myself at the end of this being like, you know, if this came on in the background, I wouldn't turn this off. And I don't know why. Is it the kooky, batshit, wild mom who is just like the NPC quest giver with the exclamation point constantly hovering above her head? Maybe. Is it the fact that we've got running as an allegory for riding horses? Perhaps. Is it the fact that we have a pocket dimension where a full-on medieval fight happens? Probably. I don't know why, but that's what I'm rating it.
I gave it a 4.5. I didn't hate it. I hate a lot of things about it, but as someone who likes the musical Camelot, which is where I'm basing all of my knowledge of the King Arthur story on, because I know it from Sword in the Stone or Camelot, I liked the like, oh, who's that going to be kind of like bit of it. I thought it was a higher production as far as like the sets and costumes go than most DCOMs. And yeah, I wasn't bored really. So yeah, 4.5.
2.
I knew that's what you're going to say. Yeah. I had a feeling.
I really didn't like this movie.
I can't tell why.
And I think I was more disappointed because I like the concept a lot.
That I think would be a
big, I like big, the big Arthur awesome. Story. I enjoy the medieval like trope. You know, gearing up for us watching this, I was like, man, this looks unique and I'm excited to watch it. And I was so disappointed.
I'm sorry.
I was so disappointed by the atrocious writing that caused me physical pain to listen to. I was so disappointed by how they just decided to make the plot not make sense, that none of it paid off. I was so disappointed with this film. And so it's a two for me.
I'm sorry, buddy.
It's not your fault, Adam.
No, I know it's not my fault.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. You know what? I gave Starstruck a 5, and that movie didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
So I hear you.
Listen,
but 100%. I just...
It's one of those things where I got out of that movie, and I was like, well, I don't know why.
Hey, no judgment. People like what you like, man.
Yeah. Now, I do have a review that I'd like to read you.
Okay.
This review is titled, Nice!
Nice.
I thought so.
I thought you were going to say night.
Oh, sure.
Missed opportunity on the part of the reviewer. The
ones that say me.
We are no longer. Anyway. I don't review unless it's a 10 in my viewpoint.
Wow.
Oh.
And I give this a 10.
Great.
I haven't read the book, but that shouldn't matter. I think of books and movies as separate, especially if it's a TV show.
Oh.
This movie, unlike what some others say, is not that predictable.
Yeah.
I was so sure Will was the reincarnation of King Arthur and Marco was Mordred.
That's exactly what they wanted you to think.
The dream scenes
probably
in the beginning
should have been that.
Yeah, what? The dream scenes in the beginning with Allie meant nothing to me. I didn't understand them at all. So I didn't think she'd be King Arthur.
All right.
Out of topic, but it would be nice if Disney did a medieval themed movie that is sweet and family friendly and not too much fighting at all. And I love female main characters, so it'd be nice too if the main character was a girl.
What the fuck is this movie?
I guess he wants it actually set in the medieval times.
Oh, I understand. Or was this too much fighting?
It's one of those two. I'm hoping it's the first one.
Anyway, back to the movie.
Great.
I enjoyed it. It was a different DCOM, and I like that.
Yeah.
I think it's the people who are very used to serious style movies and overboard drama, like Pretty Little Liars, that hate most of the new Disney, which is like 2010 onwards, stuff. This movie wasn't cheesy. It was clearly serious.
Uh-huh.
In a mild fashion, anyway.
Clearly serious.
What does clearly serious in a mild fashion mean?
I don't know.
Oh, my Taco Bell with my mild sauce.
10 out of 10.
Bold take.
Bold take.
Especially after saying you didn't understand the first half of the movie.
Okay. Now that has brought us to the end of the year 2010. So let us do a year in review.
Okay.
We had Starstruck, Den Brother, Camp Rock 2, The Final Jam, and Avalon High.
Yep. It's clear to me.
I've got my top. I think my top is clear. Den Brother is number one for me.
Den Brother's number one.
Camp Rock 2 was my highest rated.
Camp Rock 2 is my highest rated.
I think Den Brother is my highest rated. And also of those, it's the one I want to watch.
That's fair.
Yeah. So you all are both Camp Rock 2 or are you Den Brother?
I think Den Brother is my highest rated. Camp Rock 2 is the one I would watch again.
Okay. So you're picking Camp Rock 2 is your number one of the...
That's my number one.
And your number one.
Camp Rock 2.
And I'm saying Den Brother. Okay.
Now, I'm going to say this. I think for me, Starstruck is lower than Avalon High. I do not want to watch Starstruck again.
I agree.
Okay.
I know that I know that Avalon High is lower
for
you.
It's not even close.
Yeah. It's so disparate.
I'd watch Starstruck every day for a week to not watch this movie.
One time.
If you said to me, you can watch Avalon High once, or you can watch Starstruck 5 days in a row, I'd watch Starstruck 5 days in a row.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
The loathing runs
I don't
deep.
Know that there's any movie I would do that with.
Yeah. I hate it.
Unless
this.
It was like Dad Napped to High School Musical. Mm. Like it would have to be so extreme.
What if it was like Dad Napped to... Ooh, this is a fun question. What if it was Dad Napped, which is our historically the lowest rated zeros. Versus Hounded. Oh, no. Life is Rough.
Life is Rough
versus one Dad Napped.
I'd watch Dad Napped.
But they're both bad in that case.
Yeah.
I gave Star Trek a 5. I came out of that saying I didn't hate it. So it has to be something that I didn't like.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate
Star
Trek
either. For all of its faults, I still gave it a 5 and said, like, you know, I didn't hate it. So I wouldn't find it bad. Whereas if you give me two bad options, I'm going to take the one
I think, though, until you get me into like an 8 or higher, I'm always picking the shorter viewing.
Mm.
Like, it could be the worst DCOM versus something I gave a 7, and I'm probably still picking the worst DCOM to just not have to watch the other one 5 times. But if you get into the good ones like High School Musical and Johnny T and Xenon, I'm going to watch that one over and over.
Yeah. Well, in 2011, we have a whole lot of DCOMs that are based off of either previous Disney Channel IP or other DCOMs. So we have, kicking off 2011, the Suite Life movie. We have Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure.
Oh my God, I'm excited.
Phineas and Ferb the movie, as well as Good Luck Charlie. Now, that's not all of the movies in 2011, but those are the movies that are based off of previous Disney IPs, like Disney Channel or DCOM IP. So that's going to be interesting.
I can tell you which one I'm most excited about.
Is it Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure?
No, it's Phineas and Ferb.
You know what? Have me in the first half.
Get your goo.
I love you.
Well, folks, that brings us to an end of this episode of Zetus Lapidus, a Mammoth Club original podcast, where we covered Avalon High.
Yeah, we did.
It also brought us to the end of the year 2010. So next week, we kick off 2011 with the Suite Life movie. Until then, friends, please be sure to rate and review this podcast wherever it is you get your podcast. It really does help us out. Please be sure to follow us on socials. And if you want to join with the Mam Fam in the conversation about any of these episodes, please join us on Discord. We would love to have you. But until next time, friends, goodbye now.
We're Knights of the Round Table. What's that from?
That's from Spamalot.
Is that from Spamalot? It's the other way I know this story.
I originally know it from Monty Python the Holy Grail, which... is
better.
A lot of Spamalot's from.
Better.